This is somewhat amusing for me. Last year was the first time I'd ever been to any of this type of conference. And last year, Bob had wanted to wear just a T-shirt promoting White Rabbit Radio. That's all he wanted. He wanted casual attire, and he showed up pretty casual. And Sam Dixon gave an amazing speech. He gave one of the best speeches I've ever heard a man give. Any of you remember that? And part of it he went into about, he's a lawyer by training, so he went into how you got to always look the part and everything else. And Bob felt horrible because he was the only speaker not wearing a suit. So this year, Bob, I made him wear a suit, and Sam Dixon comes in casual attire, and Bob is ready to fight. Now Bob wants his T-shirt back. So I think it's wildly amusing. And maybe I'll put them both in the T-shirt, and I'll at least get a picture of it. But anyways, but Bob can wear a T-shirt after this. But yeah, exactly. That's right. You're wearing your uniform. But this year we had everything planned at another conference, so I had a multimedia presentation actually ready. And you don't really have a backdrop, a screen backdrop for me to show it, but you do have these wonderful Smoky Mountains, which I think are even better. But I'll go on and talk about some different things that have happened the last year because it's important to pick up where we started. Sound is a very important topic in this society because this society is totally controlled by controlling the message. Western civilization in general has operated that way. We built open societies. It's the politicians trying to convince us. It's the media trying to put out information for better or worse. But typically, the misunderstanding we have, historically, most people think that if you control the media, you immediately have all this power. And the neoconservatives right now have a great deal of power in Washington. And last year, I went into the nine words, and the nine words are very important. Ahmadinejad is going to wipe Israel off the map, and how they seeded that particular message. They seeded it like a force of nature, only a handful of them. It was less than a half dozen first started seeding it. Now, of course, you've got war on the horizon with Iran, all because of seeding this this phrase that is absolutely a lie. But a lie spoken enough time becomes a fact. But last year we talked about this, and I talked about seeding memes into the media and the power of it. Most of us think just owning the media or the neocons just actually having a lock hold, a total lock on the media, the Jewish control of the media is enough. No, it's not enough. You have to use that to project a message into the population of where you want to be, what you're going to do, what you're about, and that's what they do. They control the media by controlling the message. And if you don't learn how to control the message, you're going to be ruled by those who do. It's a sad fact. But the good news for you is that we do have a large online media presence. What I call the white normal media is actually epic. It's totally epic. Like I said last year, the ideal that someone like me, in a period of now my website is 36 months old, actually officially 36 months old, could be standing in front of a group like you, and we could be in the top 50,000 websites in the UK, and any given day the top 250,000 in America. And it's not because of something we're doing, it's because we're plugged into a larger media network like Stormfront, like the DavidDukes.com, and it's just the type of traffic they get is absolutely astounding. But that's the only reason I'm here. But if you have media access like that, if you have these giant websites, the question is, how do you use that to take power? And the answer is really simple. You have to have a message. It has to be something even a 7-year-old in Germany can use. And in this case, we have to have our own terminology, because terminology precedes ideology. Before you were ever shoved underneath a multicultural tyranny, before white genocide became fact, before you were put underneath their ideology, you were put underneath the terminology. You were called a racist. You were sitting on the playground acting all white and normal, and someone came up yelling racism, racism, every time you spoke your opinion about some particular ethnic interest. And that is how it operates. Terminology precedes ideology. Before someone can put you underneath their ideology, they're going to put you underneath a unique terminology. And that is basically what we have been about, is getting out our terminology, words like anti-white. Last year I told you that we would need approximately 300 posting and reporting on Swarm before posting of reporting on Bob's Underground Graduate Seminar. And the Swarm is an actual forum where different groups will post and report different media links, different articles that they're posting our message and only our message on. And right now, last year at this time, we had about somewhere right around 40 posting and reporting. Now it's like 130. But the word anti-white, I didn't think anti-white would reach the top of the society. In other words, Fox News would not be using the word. Bill O'Reilly would never use the word until we had about 300. But it ended up happening much sooner. Or we're much larger online than those just posting and reporting. It's kind of difficult to tell. Other than this stuff is out there, it's growing, it's mushrooming. But typically, one of the challenges we have, and everyone in this room has had this challenge, there are three steps that a human goes through when they've been conned. It's the psychology of the con. And everyone has been through this. Everyone in this room is into one of these three steps. And I'm going to guess most of you are in the final steps. First is denial of the con. This is human psychology 101. People don't want to believe they've been lied to. They don't want to believe they've been conned. It's just total denial. And there's a phrase for it in psychological warfare. It's called demoralization. And a demoralized society will sit there and deny everything until it comes down all around them. Then there's a second step. The second step is very interesting. It's acceptance of the con. Many of you, I'm guessing everyone in this room, has seen people laugh at political correctness, start making jokes about political correctness. It's happening in the society more and more over the past 5 years, I would say. And that is the second step, acceptance of the con, acceptance that you've been conned, that you've been under con. The healthiest thing for a human to do is to laugh at it. Laugh at the mistake you've made, admit it, and get on with it. And the third and final step is what most of us are in, especially in this room. It's anger at the con artist. You're ticked off that you've been lied to. You're ticked off at the con artist. And you see this in the area I'm in, there's a handful of different scams going on. Welcome to America nowadays, and they try to rip off old people. And they go around, after a big storm, they'll go around trying to sell siding or something, one of these different insurance schemes. And, you know, a lot of times, because maybe people are gullible or whatever reason, they'll fall prey to one of these scams. And it's a terrible thing. But the first thing they want to do is deny it. If you've ever seen anyone like this, like, no, I haven't been ripped off. They'll be back to do the work. The second thing is to accept it. No, they're not coming back. And, yeah, they cash the check. Then the third step is, of course, anger at the con artist. But the healthiest thing to do in the second phase is laughter. Most of this society, believe it or not, whole sections that we would want to influence are in the second phase. They're no longer denying there's a problem. Everyone realizes there is. They're no longer denying that multiculturalism is a joke. They're starting to laugh at it. You see Hollywood trying to get around this. Hollywood is starting to lampoon things more and more, trying to go to the edge. We're the only ones that can go to that edge or go over that edge, but they're trying to do this. They're trying to focus everyone's attention elsewhere to get them laughing at something else. They're very aware of this psychology. And what we are doing at White Rabbit Radio is we are starting to bring out animations. We have went from podcasts, which I still do, as well as selling digital media, to bringing out actual animations. And our first animation was a lot bigger and a lot more successful than I thought, because it was the first thing I've ever been involved in like this. It was a little long, but it was picked up by the Miami Herald, and anyone can go to whiterabbitradio.net and look up How Whites Took Over America. But it totally blew up, and YouTube ended up banning it when it hit right around when it hit that. As soon as the Miami Herald put it up on their blog as a political satire over immigration, it jumped to almost the range of the 150,000 number. There's a number on YouTube where you can become an automatic partner for advertising everything else. And as soon as they did that, they banned it on some technicality. But then they allowed it back. They allowed it back under another channel without our outrageous number of views. But now it's back up. It's got 50,000 views and it has, 15,000 views and about 60,000 views in Russia. They never banned it in Russia. But that was our first animation. And we are building into our second animation. I had a huge elaborate, well, I still do. It's on a laptop. Example to show you guys on what we're working on. And it's called Anti-Racist Hitler. It is far more controversial than our first one. It's more hard-hitting. It's funny. There's going to be a reaction to it that probably much more larger than the first one. The first one was just a teaser. But it's been quite an experience. It's the first time in the second animation we were using processes and programs that our race has actually designed for animation, but they've only ever been used against us in modern times. And we're probably going to be the first to use that on behalf of our race to start bringing things out to the forefront. But we're bringing any of you, how many of you have heard of Forest Avengers Follow the White Rabbit or the White Rabbits? Have you heard of that? A lot of people here. Well, the white rabbits and the pink rabbits are being puppet rigged in actual three dimensions. You're not going to have to use glasses. Three-dimensional animation is the newest animation. It's a big thing for kids in video games. All these video games that look realistic and really cool, they're all 3D animation. But we are puppet rigging them in 3D. They're actually going to be 3D to get the real big wow effect. And if everything goes right, you'll have an Android game as well called Whack a Pink Rabbit. That's going to be all mantra, all talking points, all that kind of stuff. And you can run around and whack pink rabbits. We're going to do some very interesting stuff. We're in the asset building phase where we're building assets. We're building digital sets. We have a digital set for anti-racist Hitler of actual Tel Aviv that I can show you, where we're running around with cameras within the confines of a computer and videotaping Hitler. As if you could see the intro, but any of you that want to watch it are welcome to during the intermission or during the break. But that is about a week's worth. We got about another week's worth of work to do to get that out there, but we expect it to be much, much bigger. Everything we do, we want to build up, build assets. And when I say build assets, our first animation was done old school style animation. Everything was drawn. All the scenes were drawn over and over again. We brought in, from that animation, we've been able to attract other talent that worked on some of the largest films. I can't really name the films or what they worked on because people would know that hear this, they would know immediately who I'm talking about, but they worked on some of the largest 3D animation scenes the world has ever seen. And they are the ones that have helped us build assets to teach us how this stuff is done so that we can immediately deploy stuff to bring out our next media presentations or whatever we want to do with these assets. Once anti-racist Hitler is done, these are assets that are ours. We can use it for historical revisionism. You can use it for whatever you want to do, as creative as you want to be. That's the wonderful thing about animation. But we are using it to move the audience into the second phase, to get them laughing. How Whites Took Over America. How many of you have seen this? Has anyone seen this? Okay, How Whites Took Over America. The idea is to get them laughing at the con because they have experienced exactly what the Indians experienced, the words, the phrases. Anti-racist Hitler will do the same thing. I call it the California effect. California was totally submerged, and the only thing our enemy says, well, look at all these nice restaurants you have to eat at. You know, just have more babies. There's millions of Mexicans coming in every day. But it is really Orwellian to that effect. And there is no, none of the animations, of course, have any cursing or anything, no violence at all. They just show the actual raw reality of the language. And it is a flip the script. We're constantly dealing with, you know, most people in the society have subconscious associations and we don't know where we get them. You know, why do people believe evil whites took over conquered America? Well, Dr. Duke could give us a long explanation, but it's pretty simple. They were brainwashed into believing that, or we were inculcated with that in the media. And most people believe diversity is a strength. Well, we pair these two together in a pretty good effect. In anti-racist Hitler, we're going to take it to another extreme. Most people believe Hitler's an evil genocidal genius. I'll give them that. But he's an evil genocidal genius who has a new agenda. He's seen things differently. It's the dawning of a new day. And he shows up to the largest anti-racist convention and he declares himself an anti-racist. He comes out of a time machine. And you're just going to have to see it to believe it. But that's what we're cooking up. We're going to move people from the second stage, and it's done with terminology. It's done by fusing our terminology over and over again. And I wanted to do something because I think it's important for the black family. It's important for all the Stormfront listeners. My site is relatively new, so it's important to understand how much growth it's had. Most people know White Rabbit Radio has grown, but they don't understand the type of emails I get and the type of effect all the listeners, anyone that hears this MP3 can have. Your post on CNN, and this is from Sunday, September 9th. I was trying to figure out what I was going to talk about, and so I said, you know what, people always ask what kind of emails I get. I get tons of them, and if you have a website online, you're going to get tons of emails, especially if it's what I label white and normal. I'm sure the black family gets all kinds of interesting emails from time to time. But I decided to print out an email. This is the average type of email I get all day long. I printed out on September 11th when I responded, but it came in September 9th, so it's very recent. I get these every week. Your post on CNN had led me to your website and to the Bugs website and multiple videos and ideologies I've never seen before. I'm a 37-year-old American WASP, married to a British national with two very, very white children. And I've always considered myself to be an internationalist. I lived in North Yorkshire, England for 5 years, close to Bradford, a.k.a. Bradistan, as we used to call it, and have only been back in the USA since June 2010. My wife and I have never felt so alienated since moving back here as a minority, and we have our house on the market, hoping we'll be able to soon move back to England as soon as possible. So thank you. I'm relieved to have seen a bigger picture and know that others can see it too. Keep up the good work. I thought you might like to see what I just purchased for the back of my vehicle. He purchased one of the European tags that has a white rabbit in it. Not from us, but there's guys out there selling them. And so he purchased a little white rabbit logo for his vehicle. But the funny thing about this is your post on CNN. I don't post on CNN. I don't have time for that anymore. I have a swarm that does that. This is the type of effect the swarm that you can have if you use your media to project it out into a general population. You have the largest media online by far, in the conservative movement and everything else. I mean, it's just epic. Stormfront is always in the top, 10,000 on Alexis? Is always there.
It's more depressive than it sounds in the top 10,000.
But it is. If you understand what it takes to put up a website, anyone can go around and put up a website and then try to draw people in. It isn't that easy to do because there's a lot of competition. But it is an asset. It is a resource. And just being affiliated, just having banners up on there, Don doesn't take advertising dollars, but we do advertising actually with CFCC. We've done some with Rents.com. We do. You can see our advertisements right now on CFCC. .org? Council of Conservatives. Yeah, CFCC.org. And Don is kind enough to put up a banner for us on Stormfront. But the type of response we get is just astronomical simply from being affiliated with the media. But the two final things I wanted to talk to you about are the two questions I get emailed all the time. And I think it's important for those in this struggle to understand. I've always asked, what two questions do I get asked the most? The first question is, where is the solution going to come from? Where is the solution going to come from? And this is something to understand the difference between us and our enemy. And I'll put it in very simple terms. Our enemy does the type of systems we're living in. We're living in a closed system where it's multiculturalism, it's diversity for white countries and only white countries. The Soviet Union was another example of a closed system. Closed systems generally revolve around... The greatest example I could give you would be the difference since we're talking about the Internet. The Internet is an open system solution. It's what our race does. It's our biological imperative. If we were to go back in time to 1985 and Don Black were to stand up and give a speech and say, you know what, I'm going to have a website bigger than the Anti-Defamation Leagues and bigger than the SPLC, and it's going to be a white website because this thing, the Internet, is coming out in 1995, and it's going to totally, the jokes are all going to be what's black and white and totally over the newspapers. We're going to burn down the Jewish media with this new totally creation that no one's ever seen. You would grab your tinfoil hat and you would start laughing. But our race produced that. That's what our race does. Our race does these type of open systems where there's a low barrier to entry. The counterpart to that would be the big three media. The big three media, what is more scarce in the big three media than media access? Very few people have access to the media. Whereas with the Internet, anyone with any talent and a website can immediately get access. Our race does that. Our race does the open systems. Our enemies, as I call them the pink rabbits, call them what you want. They do closed systems. The system we are living in is a closed system. They're trying to build a prison planet. That is for real. But our solution to our problem, it's going to be like going back in 1985 and looking, how are we going to get out of this dynamic we're in where we have no media access? No one, very few people understood that our actual solution was not held within the confines of those big three media. Our solution came in an open system, out-of-the-box solution that was totally around. Some Aryan had invented that was coming down the pipeline barreling for us. And that's where your solution will come for all our problems now. It won't come from within the confines of the present paradigm, the present closed system, what's going on in Western civilization today. It will be just like the Internet. It's out there somewhere. Someone has it. It's coming our way. And that is what you need to do. It will be an open system solution. It won't be anything any of us dreamed of. It was just like the Internet. It is beyond anyone's wildest imagination on how it's worked out for us. I made the statement last year that we own the net. And what I meant by that is we have enough media power to put words like anti-white on the tips of everyone's tongues. And I know we can do that because we're doing it. It's plain as day. Anyone can Google this stuff and find out. The enemy didn't make it up. No one gave it to us. It's exclusively our stuff. And then the second question I get asked is always, what is the mantra? What is mantra thinking? And to put it quite simply, it's open system thinking. It's an open system style solution. It's not held within the confines of the current paradigm. The current paradigm uses words like racism. We say, in your opinion, I'm a racist. You're just saying it because I'm white. Anti-racism is a code word for anti-white. We use our own phrases in an open system way, and that's all the mantra is open system thinking at its finest, in my opinion. That's all Bugs represents. Our job, we feel, is to lay the foundation for whatever solution, wherever it's coming from, whatever it is, it will be an open system solution. Just like the internet, it will burn down everything around us. Some white kid will have already done it. We won't even realize it. And I don't know what it is or where it's coming from, but I can tell you it will be an open system solution. It will not be Jewish. I can guarantee you that. It will not be a pig rabbit solution. But we can do this. What's important for you guys to understand it is in every white child's biological imperative to do open systems. If any of you are buying a cell phone, you'll get really clued in on the difference between open and closed systems. Android is an open system platform. I can make an Android game called Whack a Pink Rabbit and sell it or give it away, and they're not going to shut me down. Apple won't even let me get my foot in the door to have access to iPhones. Apple is on a similar kernel, but Apple is a closed system solution. Again, one is our biological imperative. It's what we do. It's also the only downside to it, of course, is it makes us susceptible to something called subversion. But there are ways to counter that. And right now, we are going to keep moving forward with animations and moving forward as fast as we can to move everyone from the second step, which is acceptance that they've been under a con in Western civilization, to the third and final step where change can happen, anger at the con artist, the stage we're all in here. But I'll go ahead and let Bob speak, and then what we wanted to do, because you're here to ask questions, we wanted to open it up to anything you wanted to ask questions about. And you'll be free to ask me a question or Bob a question, or if you want, I'll bring up Truck Roy and make him answer a question. But go ahead, Bob, get up there and talk. Say what you got to ask.